The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I must have been feeling a little playful this week, because some of you will notice the announcement about the chorale. They're back, these fine sinners. I mean singers. Yesterday, in anticipation of preaching on this text, I thought, let's have a little fun today. So, how many of you will join with me in having a little fun? Okay, show of hands, nods of heads, good. Because it occurred to me that if I were reenacting today's gospel with a bit of a modern twist to it, I might be tempted to make it a fun little quiz show. Let's say Jeopardy, for example. That ever popular game show. I mean, who doesn't like to play along with Jeopardy? And of course, you all know the part that I get to play, right? You can all be the contestants, but since I'm writing the script here, I get to be the game show announcer. That's right. And I'd start by saying something like, playing the part of Alex Trebek in today's final Jeopardy is none other than Jesus Christ, Son of Mary, Son of God. And then I'd point to Jesus. That's my job, after all. I'd point to Jesus, who would say something like, "Ladies and gentlemen, the final Jeopardy category for today is first century parables. Now, make your wagers." And with a wink and a nod, I think Jesus might say, "I hope they're all in." And then he'd go on to remind them, the contestants that is, that their response must be in the form of a question. So here is the answer. When telling the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, this is the point I was trying to make. Contestant number one, what did you write down? And that contestant would hold up their sign and say, "What is repentance?" And Jesus would say, "I'm sorry, that's incorrect. And what was your wager?" "Ooh, I see you wagered it all, and of course, you lost it all." Contestant number two, let's see what you wrote down. "What is forgiveness of sins for repentant sinners?" Huh, that's a great question, and it could very well have been the point, but I'm sorry to say that's not what we were after here. And I see you two wagered it all and are now left with nothing, nada. So contestant number three, let's see what you came up with. What is lost is now found. And Jesus would respond, "Oh, my dad." Oh, my dad. Another fine response, but still not quite the point we're looking for. No, the correct response is, wait for it. Here it comes. What is rejoice? There's a party going on, and would you believe everyone is invited? Now, that's a mouthful. And I would say all of those responses from the contestants were good ones. But it occurred to me for the first time when reading these parables together, the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And by the way, the parable of the prodigal son follows this parable. So Jesus has told three stories of lost and found. Three stories, you might say, of repentant sinners turning around. But if that was the whole point of the parable that Jesus told, it doesn't seem to fit with the grumbling of the Pharisees and scribes that something lost is finally being found. Or repentance, that is, turning one's life around, reorienting it toward God and away from that which takes us from God. It's not even about repentant sinners. Because why would Jesus use a missing sheep and a lost coin to make that illustration, to make that point? Think about it. Can a sheep repent of its sins? Can a coin even, by itself, is it even capable of sinning? It's true. God loves to forgive repentant sinners. This is true. God wants to create in us a clean heart and a right spirit. This is true. And of course God wants us to turn from our ways and reorient ourselves toward God and God's ways. That is also true. God wants us to take an honest look and examine our hearts and confess those things that keep us from fully trusting God above all else. In fact, in the first epistle of John, it is written, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And that is a word of grace and promise. But here's the thing. Sometimes I think we forget that God is the actor here, the main attraction, that God is the one who is faithful and just. It is God who forgives our sins, and it is God who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Indeed, we are a lot like a lost sheep that goes astray or a coin that goes missing. Because the sheep may not even realize it was lost in the first place. And frankly, oftentimes we don't realize it when we're lost. Or if we do realize it, we can't or won't admit it. And the coin doesn't even have the cognitive ability to know that it's lost. That lone lost sheep and that little insignificant coin were lost only after their caretaker or rightful owner discovered that they were missing. I'm no shepherd, but I suspect sheep might go merrily along their way, not realizing they're lost, even when danger is lurking in the shadows. I'm pretty sure they don't think, "Oh no, I'm lost." I hope that in this parable we might see a little different twist on it. And see how the shepherd comes looking for that sheep. To remember that the searching is at God's initiative. God is like a shepherd who searches high and low until that lone lost sheep is found. It is our sheep herding God, our shepherd God, who goes out of God's way to find us. And when we are found, God picks us up and slings us on God's shoulder, and God carries us home to the flock where we belong. Likewise, it is God who is like a frantic woman who relentlessly sweeps her house, looking diligently for that lost coin of hers until she finally finds it. And in both cases, the protagonist is not the sheep, but the shepherd, not the coin, but the woman. They are the ones who rejoice and celebrate when what was lost is found. They're the ones who throw a party for their friends and neighbors, saying, "Come and rejoice with me. Celebrate, for that which was lost is now found." It's also true that God raised Jesus from the dead to save us and all people from the power of sin and death. And that Jesus, who on the cross gave his all for the sake of all, wants his followers, those of us who claim to follow Jesus, to risk everything, to be all in. And you can be sure that God will relentlessly sweep an entire house in search of what others might be tempted to say is insignificant. Practically worthless, a little coin. And God will even foolishly leave 99 sheep behind to search for the one who has gone astray until it is found and brought safely home again. And you can be sure that when the lost are found, God pulls out all the stops. God throws a lavish party, as God did in the prodigal story, for the son who returned home. God throws a lavish party, the likes of which none of us could even dare to imagine. God celebrates like there's no yesterday, today, or tomorrow, only forever. And God makes sure everyone receives an engraved invitation to the party, so that no one is excluded. No one is left out. No one is deemed unworthy, unloved, unforgivable, unwanted, or insignificant. From the last to the least and the lost, all are included. Everyone has a place at the table. Even those tax collectors and sinners who made the Pharisees and scribes grumble. Truly, my friends, that is known as amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And that will always be the final answer. God's grace, God's amazing grace. Because as ludicrous as it may sound, God's grace is not only what finds us when we're lost, but it is God's grace that saves us, redeems us, and sanctifies us in the one true faith. Thanks be to God.